Hello, Internet. Welcome to episode 133 of the Assorted Calibers podcast, the Second Amendment podcast. There's a little bit for everyone. I'm Weird Beer, and tonight, this is an ACP Christmas roundtable. Of course, per usual, we have the lovely...
I'm just here to jingle weird spells.
Well said. And of course, per special invite, because it's a round table, we have David.
Shalom and happy post-Hanukkah, Goyim and other heretics.
That's right. He is bringing us the Festival of Delights side of the season. And of course, celebrating Kwanzaa, we have Oddball.
I hope you guys are having a better Christmas than I am.
Seriously.
I mean, can we just get that off of all of our chests right off the bat?
You want me just to talk about the latest bit or just the year in review?
I mean, honestly speaking, like I said just before this, I'm like, I came in and I saw Oddball was already in the room and I'm like, you sure you want to do a show tonight, Oddball? And you're like, yeah, I really do need to do a show. Like, this is good. This is going to be good catharsis. So, you know, yeah. What? Weapons hot, whatever will scratch the itch.
Okay. So,
they have a cream for that too.
This morning, shortly after I logged into work in the basement, one of our cats came down the stairs and was not acting right at all. So unfortunately I had a bunch of meetings that I was the only IT guy on that meeting. So I kind of had to be there. So I, got Panya to take her to the vet and it turned out that, surprise, she had kidney failure and actually passed away this afternoon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So, for those of you keeping score at home, this year has included my dad passing away, and now three of my cats.
2020.
So, yeah, about that. So, like I said, I hope everybody else is having a better Christmas than I am.
Yep.
Everybody deserves a better Christmas than that. So.
Yep. Well, of course, not with the recent announcement from Tennessee's Governor Cromwell.
Well, yeah, there's that. But fortunately, as far as... do we want to pass the baton around, or do we want to get straight into that bit, that story?
I think a little baton passing and some less bad stuff. I'm not sure I have much, but something.
You have to. What?
So, as I'm sure by now people know, I lost my mother at the end of September, and my cousin, who also lived in New York City, was our angel and was there for her and doing stuff. And she called me today and her mom is not doing very well.
Yeah.
So, you know, physically she's been kind of up and down for a while, but it's now the mental faculties are starting to fade.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. And her mom is, I think she's 88 or 87. She's in her late 80s. Hmm. So, you know, she's about a decade past her expiration date. But and still, just tragic.
And the mental faculties going can be harder.
Oh, yeah.
On everybody than the physical going.
Absolutely. But, yeah, so we're talking today, and she's still, you know, asking me if there's anything else she can do for me after all the stuff that she did for my mother.
Right.
And I mean, part of it very well may be I need to do something useful.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been there, done that. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds familiar.
So we had a little chat. She also said that last she heard, a friend of hers whose husband died in June or July, she just got the paperwork from the city courts to settle the estate. So they're running about 6 months. I mailed that paperwork at the very end of October. It didn't get there until mid-November.
Right.
It took over 2 weeks to travel from East Tennessee to New York City. So,
yeah.
If I'm lucky, I'm looking at April.
Crazy.
Yep. So we can't settle the account. We can't, I can't order her tombstone because that has to be paid out of the estate. And they require certain administration things in New York City. Can't clear out her apartment, which I'm sure the building is thrilled by the fact that this prime apartment is sitting there unrentable or unsellable.
Right.
And my concern was that they were just going to say, okay, we've had enough. We're not whiting anymore. We're just going to clear out the apartment. My cousin, who has, she did family law, I think, assured me that they can't do that. And if they tried, she would be my advocate in court, and the court would look at the situation, look at the year, and say, get out.
Mm.
So at least there's that comfort, that little bit of weight off the shoulders. But yeah. On the other hand, I did observe one of the traditions of my people for the season.
Ate lots of food?
Well, that's kind of the tradition of every season for my people.
Well, yes.
And for most people.
I remember earlier, maybe it was not even this year, but there was a handy guide to Jewish holidays for the Goyim. And, people were trying to kill us. We survived. Hooray! Eat lots of food.
Yep. Trees? The short version is, they tried to kill us, we survived, let's eat.
Yeah, but then there was the thing where it's like, trees? Question mark.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember that one. That was, it was for Tu B'Shavat, which is basically, it's what's referred to as Jewish Arbor Day, although it's more than that. But yes, I remember that. It was all of these. It was the listing of the Jewish traditions and celebrations, and the vast majority of them involved eating.
Yeah, and I asked you about it, and you said, "Well, trees are nice." Like, yes, while technically an answer, it does not answer anything I asked.
It's also with trees. It is a long-standing tradition in the Jewish faith to plant a tree in someone's memory. As long as the tree lives, their memory will live. Even after all the people who knew them are gone, the tree will still exist as a memoriam to them.
Nice.
And it also has a hearkening in relation to the tree of life, which is not the same as the world tree. two different faiths here.
Aha. Yes, I found it. Yes, stand by as I post the image. And then, of course, we'll post it in the show notes or something.
Yes.
Sounds like you're saying geese in a really weird way.
But yeah, but David, so the tradition that you were observing today?
Well, what holiday is approaching?
It's Hanukkah.
Hanukkah's over.
Hanukkah's over.
Okay, I missed it.
Yep. What the holiday is Friday. This coming Friday.
Boxing Day?
No, that's Saturday.
Ah,
so Thursday is the eve.
Yes.
Friday Christmas. Is the day. Yes, Christmas. Yep. So what is one of the main Jewish traditions before Christmas?
Chinese food.
The eating of the Chinese food. I don't know what we did for 1,000 years, but we do the Chinese food.
And is that just mostly because the Chinese immigrants were also not Christian, and so therefore they saw no need to take the day off?
Pretty much, as far as I understand. It's also a very urban thing. New York City, I don't know if Los Angeles, but Chicago. But so it was the big cities with large concentrations of both Jews and Chinese. We would go out for dinner, and that's where we could go. Italian restaurants were closed.
It's my understanding that essentially the origin of most of the American Chinese dishes, because of course American Chinese food is authentic Chinese food. It is just a variation of that Chinese food. And so, just like the Vietnamese French cooking is very much legitimate French cooking. It's just in a different location and with different ingredients and different people that they were catering to. So it's going to be a little bit different, but it's French cooking. And same with, Northern France versus Southern France, whatever.
And the various Italian cuisines.
Exactly. Yeah. And so But I believe the hotbed origin location of most of the Chinese dishes that are known in America are like out of San Francisco. I think that is like the epicenter of Chinese American cuisine.
Yeah. Yeah. Seconded by Chinatown in New York City. Mm-hmm. But definitely the California connection is exceedingly strong because that's where they arrived. Yeah, that's why German and Italian and French cuisine centers on New York City and spreads out from there because that's where they arrived. But yes, I do like I think one of my favorites of that graphic that Aaron just shared is that Lag BaOmer, Tuba Av, and New Year for animals. For trees, it says yes? Question mark. And I'm looking at it like, is that optional? Maybe.
I don't know. You're the Jew. You'd have to tell us.
Well, with some of those, like I'm trying to figure out the tree connection with some of them. I'm not sure.
Well, that's also the one that they tried to kill us.
Yes.
Yes. Question mark.
But I like also they tried to kill us. We're alive. Are two separate categories.
Yeah. So
we're alive. No.
Yeah, no question marks there. It's that was basically with some of those a tribe was gone.
Oh, okay, understood. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense. So it is intentionally cryptically worded, but it is also not incorrect.
Mm-hmm. Sadly,
yeah. So this will be in the show notes, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce any of this.
I'm sure you can pronounce some of them. If you look about, where is that? About the fourth one from the bottom. You can pronounce that.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah.
New Year for animals. Okay.
Very good pronunciation. I'm proud of you.
Thanks.
And the one just below Purim.
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 point taken.
Yes. So just shy of halfway down.
New Year's for kinks.
Yes. Kings, not kinks.
Yeah, I heard it too.
You jerks.
So
let's pass the torch to Aaron. I want to hear how Aaron is doing.
Well, better than David and Oddball. Probably not as good as you.
That's because he's Little Mary Sunshine.
I really don't want to get into family drama, so let's move on so we can get to the opening of presents.
Fair enough. And I will just say...
And the airing of grievances.
And the feats of strength.
Yeah, I was sad to hear. I was chatting with Oddball this morning, and I was just like, ugh. The first thing happened was my wife was making some brownies, and she turned on the oven, and then went to go put the brownies in the oven, and the oven was stone cold. And we just went, oh, crap, 2020. We have had, like, most of our major appliances have crapped out this year. Granted, they are all, like, these are all the appliances we bought when we bought the house, and we've been here for 13 years. So that's not a huge surprise, but they've been a mixed bag of our dishwasher cut out, and that one, we talked to one of the big box stores. They said, yes, we can get you one in 2 weeks. 2 weeks came. Oh, we looked on the rack and it wasn't there. Sorry, we will see if we can get you another one. And then they were like shipping us one from like Springfield, which is like way out in the west of the state. And then
so many Springfields to choose from.
Yes, but Springfield, Massachusetts. Yes. And then like, I told my wife,
I've been there.
Yeah. I told my wife, I said, when they call you and tell you that there's something screwed up with this one, tell them to give us our money back and we'll talk to somebody else, because if they screw up a second time, it's just going to keep going and it's just going to keep going. And it'll be 6 months before we finally give up with them. And so they've something happened with that one. I forget what their excuse was. And we told them, mm-hmm, we would climb a tree, and we went with our appliance company, and the dishwasher finally came when they said it would, but it was still like a month, like pretty much the entire summer we had no dishwasher. And
we haven't had a dishwasher in almost 4 years.
I'm going to beg to differ and say that the dishwasher is weird and David.
Yeah.
Oh, my wife washes dishes as well.
Oh, okay. So,
they're now self-motivated.
Yes, we are self-motivated dishwashers.
Yeah.
Props to Xander.
My wife helps, but as a general rule, the dishwashing falls squarely on my shoulders. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I try to do the majority of the dishwashing because my wife is the primary income earner.
Yeah, she turned to me once and said, "Well, I mean, we don't have the dishwasher, but we seem to be keeping up okay." And I said, I just looked at her and I said, "Yes, we are, but no, I'm not okay."
But, oh, so I did look it up because I couldn't remember why Log Ba'omer was "they tried to kill us, yes?" question mark. And I found the reference. I had forgotten this one. I don't think I've read about this since Hebrew school, which is way longer ago than I'm comfortable thinking about. But Log Ba'omer also, as part of the tradition, it's the day on which the plague that killed Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 disciples ended. So they was a plague.
How appropriate.
Yes. And that's why it's also "we're alive." No, because it killed the 24,000 disciples.
Gotcha.
But so yeah, that was the end of that.
But before the dishwasher died, our washing machine crapped out. And luckily for that, we were actually able to fix that quite easily. And so that worked out well. But when the stove died, I'm just like, okay, well, first up, let's call the company that we bought the dishwasher from, because there was also a number of problems with the dishwasher that they very selflessly, they could have just washed their hands of it and walked away, and they chose not to. And so
that's good.
Yeah. We're like, these guys are a really, really good appliance company. And so we've already promised that. Yeah. When one of these appliances dies, we're calling you guys. So
when we were still in New York, we had some, I forget which appliance issue it was, but it was also one of those. Yeah, you guys have now 1 hour business until we move.
Yeah, so we called them up just because we knew that they would know that we trust them the most on what could be done, and so called them up, and like, thankfully, oh my god, the woman on the phone line, she was at like wit's end. She's like, "Yeah, it's Monday morning. I just got in. I've got 66 calls on voicemail from this weekend." Just like, oh god. But we managed to get a tech out there, and he figured out what was wrong and fixed it for short money. So hooray. And I have suspicion, I'm not 100% sure yet, but all data points point to it was the igniter of the oven gas jet, and it's potentially this part had been failing for the last 10 years and just only now failed enough that the oven didn't work anymore. So actually there's a good chance that the oven now will work better than it pretty much ever has. As far as we know, this is the oven that like came with the house. So it's like 15 years old. But that is all fixed. And of course, also, as I would say, I'm now doing a podcast with my friends, and we're going to be opening stuff. And so, are we going to dive right into that, Aaron? Are you champing at the bit?
I'm sorry, my eyes glazed over. What were we talking about?
Presents.
Right, presents. Cool. Awesome. Yes, let's do that.
Yeah.
Do you want to lead? Do you want to direct? Do you want to order?
Okay, so first, strip down to your socks.
Inherent.
I actually want Weird to go last, and David, I want you to go first.
Oh.
And Weird, you're gonna cut this bit out, but remember, David, you're not gonna mention what's on the sides.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, so David, go ahead and open up your present.
Cutting, 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 cutting. Well, that's good tape.
Well, I had to ship it across state lines, and, you know, post office isn't exactly tender, so wanted to make sure it got there safely.
Huh.
Well, I think we're going to have a talk about appropriateness and boundaries. I mean, a double-headed dildo, really?
From Bad Dragon, so you and your wife can share.
Yeah. Oh, it's flexible and purple.
It actually is. he's not kidding.
Ooh.
He found the beads.
I found the battery compartment. Nice.
He is, of course, joking.
Aww. Or am I?
I liked it better when he wasn't.
These are nice. I like the design.
Well,
out how they
are you going?
They must have done this.
Are you going to tell people what they are? Or do?
Yeah, I'm sorry. They are. I'd say they're about rocks glass size, but they are technically shot glasses. Because they're the glasses that have the bullet embedded in the side of the glass, pushing it in.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah, they're called Ben Shot because they've been shot. And those are liquor tumblers. And it's some sort of 30 caliber rifle round. I don't remember which.
I've got one like from Lucky Nose. Shot that's a 308.
So
nice.
So, I mean, I figured both you and your wife would get some use out of it. Your wife likes alcohol, and these are, you know, specifically...
Well, she married me. She kind of has to.
Liquor tumblers, but also because you like your fancy sodas and things like that. And so, you know, you could drink your soft drinks, but out of a liquor glass, and it's got a bullet in it, and so it would be appropriate for when we're having our mag dumps.
Yeah. In addition, this is also eggnog season.
It is.
I just think it's really, really cool. I mean, it's obviously not a fired bullet. There's no rifling marks on it. Mm-hmm. But they must have done this when the glass was still hot.
Yes.
So it's really neat. I'd like to read up more about their actual technique. So thanks for the glasses and the rabbit hole.
Oh, I'm really glad you liked it. Okay, Oddball. I want you to open yours. Now, I know you're a knife guy, and you probably have just about every knife under the sun, but I think I will have surprised you.
Okay, now I'm
concerned.
Concerned. Stupid box, you open.
Good quality tape?
Good quality cardboard, especially when it's, you know, like four layers.
Yeah, this is the post office flat rate small box, the one that's about the size of a VCR tape. Kids, ask your parents.
Okay, so it is a bag.
Yes.
A flint knife kit. Ooh.
Yes. Ooh. Do you have a flint knife?
I do not. I have a Obsidian knife somewhere, but I do not have a flint one.
Awesome.
This is like a make your own?
Yes.
Well, the flint has already been napped, which I don't know if I'm happy or sad for that, because on one hand, that is something that definitely does take skill, etc., that I have never done, that I should probably do at some point.
From what I've heard.
But
yeah, I've been told if you're going to try getting into flint napping, the best advice someone gave in I was hanging out with what are they called? The guys that do the French fur trapper style reenactments.
Huh. I do not know.
I've heard about this.
Well, I mean, they're not just fur trappers, but that like. It's not soldiers, so it's not like Revolutionary War, Civil War kind of thing,
right?
Buckskinners,
okay.
Okay,
that's what's buckskinners.
But what's the advice?
Was if you're going to try to get into flint napping, get a lot of flints.
Yes, yes, I can imagine that a number of them will get ruined as you're trying to figure out what the hell you're doing.
Yeah, and basically, it was like. You're probably going to go through a dozen where you just break it on the first couple of strikes.
Yeah, and this one is a beautiful profile. So
picture?
Thank you very much. I'm taking a picture right now.
Mm-hmm. And so this way you can just assemble, carve, do whatever with the handle the way you want. And I've got a video that'll show you how to do it, but it's just, you basically fit the handle, you put the knife in, you tie the string around it real tight, and then you melt the little resin chiclets with like a heat gun, and then that'll, hold it in place.
Over the string, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. When you started describing the process, my brain started putting it to the Hokey Pokey tune.
But yes, that is very neat. Thank you, Aaron.
You are welcome.
Thank you very much.
I'm really glad you liked it. And honestly, I am tickled that I actually got you a knife that you've never gotten before. Do you know how rare that is?
Yeah, of course, you've made it harder for next year.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, that's true.
The same year that bar gets higher.
Oddball is an easy lay. If you get him one more knife of the same type that he has before, he'd be like, oh, cool, another one.
Yeah, there's
not
that.
Wrong. Not wrong.
Are you going to have a picture coming? Because I found one of the kit if you don't have it.
Yes, it is uploading to the cloud now, and so I should be able to share it in just a moment.
Okay.
Oh, and Aaron, I just wanted to confirm that the card that came with my present is that my spirit pony hanging upside down with the antler?
Yes, that's Derpy. Derpy Hooves, who got tangled in the Christmas lights because it's 2020.
Yep. Take out the Christmas elements and it could be the Tarot Hanged Man card.
Very much so.
Oh, goodness. I hadn't thought of that.
That makes
it even better, though.
I did not take a picture of the couple chiclets of wax and little spool of thread.
Oh, sure. I'll take care of that for you.
Yeah. But but as you can see, that's a wonderful profile for
really
that knife.
Really nice job of whoever napped that, because this is not one of those things where you can like punch them out of a machine. Somebody has to do this. Oddball, do you have much wood carving experience?
I did a very small amount of it in high school, but no, not really.
Well, I mean, he really doesn't need to do a whole lot. It's just conform the handle to his hand, and then if he wants to pretty it up somehow by staining it or decoratively burning it or whatever.
Yeah, I might do some sanding, but that's about the level of shaping that thing needs.
I mean, you might want to round the long corners off, because right now that looks like the grip of a CZ-75. Really does.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay. Now it's the one that I have been waiting for. The piece de resistance. Weirdington Elizabeth Beard, open your present.
I'm going to just go grab it.
go grab it?
You knew we were doing this and you didn't have it handy?
Wow. Some people.
I clicked on the light so I... Best see what I'm doing. All right, here we go.
All right, lean into the microphone. I can barely hear you.
Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, here we go. I am opening it. Oh, and let me grab my oddball parrot knife.
Be careful, it bites.
That is appropriate.
Oh my goodness. All right, I'm seeing a start. Is this what I think it is?
I don't know, weird, is it?
You tricksy hobbit!
What'd you get?
Oh, gosh. It is a... I'm trying to see what the... I don't... it's Transformers Siege action figure, so it's not an original one, which I would feel horrible if you had got me an original one, because I'm sure those are like mucho dinero.
Right.
But it is Hound.
Nice.
Aaron was listening well when I was talking about the Santa Claus story, and I distinctly remember asking for the Jeep Transformer. Never got it. Wasn't really the end of the world. Had a million and one Transformers, but oh god, Aaron, thank you.
You were telling that story, and I was ordering it as you told it that night because I didn't know what to get you. And it's like, that's it. Now, now I actually had the original Hound toy and it was crap because it had like practically zero articulation and it wasn't very fun to play with. Now it's been a while since I've wanted to play with a toy. I went looking and that sucker has so many points of articulation and posability. It almost makes me want to start playing with toys again. And so I know you're not the playing, you know, zoom, zoom, pew, pew type, but I know that you will enjoy fidgeting with it, you know, posing it. I'm sure it will occupy a position of honor on your desk.
It will. And I will also say I am firmly of the no. Toys are meant to be played with. Like I have a handful of Beanie Babies and every single one has the tag cut off because I specifically am like, I am destroying your collector's value because you are not to be collected. You are to be played with. You are to be enjoyed. And so I'm not going to do it right now because also it appears to have modern toy business. And oh my gosh, Christmas is going to be loaded with my knife is going to get a workout on the daddy. Can you open this? Daddy, can you open this? Yes, daddy will open that.
So are you going to open the box now or are you saving it for later?
I'm going to save the box for later.
Okay.
But thank you so much.
You have, and you have another present, I believe.
I do. This one, just the other day, we were actually just today, my daughter was making duck-shaped snowballs with the duck-shaped snowball maker.
I saw the pictures. They're just adorable.
Oh, and, God.
And listeners, if you are not Patreon members, then I'm sorry you missed the descriptions of what I got David and Aaron. They opened those up during the mag dump last week.
I actually took pictures of mine and posted them in the channel. We can actually put that in the show notes. And yep. And I will briefly describe to people what I got because you said it was different than what you got at everyone else. So I'm not spoiling what Weird's about to open. But mine was a little chest, and it almost looked like a little jewelry box. And it was a very nice wooden little chest casket. And when I opened it, they were very well packed, but when you peel back all the packing, they are two little metal shot glasses, and they're apparently specifically rum glasses.
Yes.
And they're very cute.
And mine is a giant revolver cylinder penhold. Mm-hmm. And I also have the images that I can put in. They're in the channel, so I can just put them back in towards the bottom so they're easier for Miss Beardington to find. With convenient ruler so you can judge the size for yourself. And basically each charge hole is big enough for one pen or two pencils.
She said charge hole.
I am simply going by the proper nomenclature.
All right, so Oddball sent me a box. He said it was going to be very large and very light, and it took ages to get here, and I was very terrified that it was going to be lost in the mail. But
Oddball, is this the one that you put the cat farts in?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Extra cat farts.
Oddball is shipping me a box of cat farts. All right, I think I need to. I have a guess. I've seen a.
So for everyone who isn't Weird, I'm uploading pictures of this version of Hound. And you can just see how friggin' detailed and articulatable it is.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I think I had the G1 Hound as well. And yeah, it was one of the little mini vehicles that did not have much articulation.
Actually, it wasn't even a mini. It was a regular, you know, $10 one, but it like had hardly any. Okay, I can't aim the arms at all. It's just sort of blocky and sitting there. Whereas this thing has like ball joints.
Mm-hmm. You said ball.
I did.
Oh my God, Oddball.
We're going to need a description and pictures.
It's literally the most ridiculous thing I have ever seen. It's covered in the styrofoam is like all over it. Oh, it is a duck that's, I don't know, it's made of plaster, I think. and it is standing up and it is wearing a hunting vest.
but it's
there's some more to it.
Well, it's just it. But what is it though? Is it's a little statuette or
is it meant to hold something?
Yeah.
What does it hold?
It should be
in the package.
Yeah, take a picture of it.
And then share the picture.
Now I want to make sure that they sent you the right thing.
Yeah.
Because it should have its wings outstretched in front of it.
I'm wondering if it would be faster, Oddball, if you posted a picture of what you ordered.
Might be.
Yeah.
And Weird could say yes or no.
I've got it.
Yes, but we're supposed to tease you.
Yes, but there's antibiotic for that now.
Welcome to Google Drive.
Negative.
Ghost Rider, the pattern is empty.
Why is that not working? It should work now. Somebody click on it and see if that.
Yeah, I clicked on it and I saw it.
Okay.
But
okay, yeah, there should be a toilet paper holder in there.
Oh, I like that it comes with snow.
Yeah, there's no
like toilet paper rod.
Yeah,
if there was a carpet and a few more knives in the background, that could almost look like Oddball.
I found it. There it is. It had fallen out. You probably didn't hear me because I was down tinkering other. But yes,
it was falling out.
Yes, there's a dowel with two balls on the end of it, so it can hold two toilet
paper. Now you said balls,
which is the most. I will have to vacuum. I'm totally Capina. Oh my god! But I will vacuum him off, and that is hilarious. And I can say right now, my wife will not allow this in any of our bathrooms.
Don't you have a podcasting bathroom in the basement?
No.
Well, there's your next homeowner project.
Well, oh gosh, there was some friends that had they bought a house, and the former owner of the house had been wheelchair bound, and so it had all sorts of various stuff done to help out. And one of the things was it actually had a urinal in one of the in one of the bathrooms. I mean, they were super happy about it because it was one of those, like, every room was like wheelchair accessible. So this is my retirement home. So they're like, yeah, when we get to
that, there's a lot of money for the future.
Exactly. And it was all on one level and all of that stuff. But she's just like, there's just like, oh yeah, no, there's this urinal here. And it was like super low. And obviously so the guy could just roll his wheelchair up to it and fire away. It's just like, and I was tempted to get that installed in the basement, but it wasn't necessarily worth all the effort to plumb it in and come up with like a little get like a privacy divider.
But that's your recording studio. Why do you need a privacy divider? If they want to see it, they can leave.
Well, I was gonna I was actually gonna put it in the section of the basement that does have an open window.
Ah. You're in the privacy of your own home. If they can see you doing that, they're being peeping toms.
I'm pretty sure there's court precedent on that, David.
Yes, I think you are correct.
Yes, there was an instance where a couple was in romantic matrimony and they got filmed by their neighbor and were witnessed and noticed that the neighbor was filming them, and so according to the court documents, put on an extra show.
Oh, that's very considerate.
Yes, and the court ruled that was indeed indecent exposure, because if they could be viewed from public land or land that did not belong to them.
Yeah.
So in theory, if I had like an open gazebo in my backyard and it was in the back 40 of my property, and so therefore you could not reasonably be considered in viewing distance of my property, that would be not indecent exposure. But
right,
if I'm in view of a public road or a neighbor's property, that's not okay.
Okay, I'm going to share a picture on the Discord. This was put up in one of my groups, and someone made this as a Christmas ornament.
Nice.
It is a Christmas bauble to hang on a tree that says it's beginning to smell a lot like brisket.
Nice. Is that 3D printed?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. That's a great Christmas ornament. And weird, I really need a 3D printer.
Weird. You don't need to tell your wife. Just put it in one of the bathrooms without telling her.
See how long it takes her to notice.
I hear her shriek.
What do you put in my basement?
I could put it up on the third floor bathroom that she doesn't use terribly often. And I can at least get a little bit of lead time.
There you go. Sounds like a plan.
Not a good plan, but a plan.
That is hilarious. And I like the fact that the duck is a duck hunter. It is, in fact, a serial killer.
I hadn't even noticed that when I ordered it.
Oh, well, that is good times. And so, well, thank you, guys. That's awesome. Especially Aaron. Oh, my God. Like the six-year-old hat can't grow a beard yet weird is like, oh, my goodness, just what I wanted. Good. Santa heard.
Good. So I'm happy. I'm very happy.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, so do we want to get into a little bit of gun news before we close this out?
Sure.
Yeah, it's not going to be good news, but sure.
I mean, I have one goofy news item, but
we'll close out on that one. I just wanted to say, and I should put the links in the show notes as well. I've got the links to Cole and Noir put out a really, really good video. Like, this is actually, I personally felt this was like one of the best videos he has done. And I've got to say, I was a humongous fan of his when he first hit the scene. And then I found myself, I really wasn't listening to him too much. And that was back in the ACMAC days. And I think, essentially, I think ACMAC was saying, look, we will give you lots of money, but the money comes with a little bit of editorial review. Yeah. And so I felt like he kind of got his wings clipped. Obviously, his channel exploded under them. So they weren't wrong, so to speak. But
they were so very wrong.
Yes. Then he got laid off, and suddenly I started seeing his videos pop up again, and I'm just like, oh wow, weapons hot,
right?
But he's talking about the ATF has put out a letter about them reviewing pistol braces, and essentially it's crap. His overall statement is: can it be used as a pistol brace? If it cannot be used as a pistol brace, then it's not a pistol brace. If it can be shouldered, then it's a shoulder stock. But if it's a pistol brace and it can also be shouldered, then it's not a shoulder stock. And actually, I don't even know like how far down the rabbit hole it goes. Like, David, you might be the one that would know off the top of your head. Like, what would happen if you were to take like a cane tip, one of those orthopedic cane tips, mm-hmm. and stick it on the buffer tube of an AR pistol?
That would be considered a pad.
Yep.
And so that would,
you're adding, I mean, if you put like foam rubber around the buffer tube, but the end of the buffer tube is still bare, then that's simply, you can place your cheek against it, but not shoulder it. But as soon as you put any padding on the back, that demonstrates intent.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. I'm not a lawyer. I don't play one on TV. I have not stayed in a Holiday Inn Express lately.
Well, and from what I understand, the lawyers are going, I don't know, because the clarifying letter that the ATF sent out
didn't clarify anything.
There's an interesting choice of words, clarifying and ATF in the same sentence.
Well, that's what they said the letter was, but I don't think this word means what they think it means. Of course, there's also the fun of they're doing that and with the P80 nonsense, where apparently if you buy a 80% lower, that's cool. If you buy it with a jig, that's cool. If you buy those and then separately buy the bits,
all the other parts
to drill it out, and the other parts to finish it out separately, that's cool.
If you buy the lower the jig and the lower parts, that's also cool.
Right. But if you throw all of them together loosely in a box.
In the same box, because, of course, you can also, as I mentioned in the show where we talked about this, if you go to brownells.com or Midway USA, I know Brownells sells all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can buy them all under one order, and you will get one big box, but it'll contain multiple little boxes.
Right, and that's cool. Also,
that's okay.
But if they all come in the same box, then that's a firearm, which I don't understand.
Even though there is no safe way to discharge a round from it.
Well, there's no place for the fire control.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know, I haven't seen them, but maybe you could mount the slide, but you couldn't mount the slide with the barrel in it.
I'm trying to
remember. As far as I know, you couldn't mount the slide, I don't think.
Yeah.
I thought the rails were in place.
I think Matt from Geek Gadgets and Guns said so to me. I'd have to scroll up in chat. He chimed in and gave the there's evidently two different generations of the polymer 80s, and I'm trying to see where that is. But essentially, there are multiple levels of what you need to do to get it so that they actually will mate together. And so no, you cannot even mount the slide.
Okay, because I know with the AR-15 80% lowers, you can mount an upper on it as long as there's not a bolt in it.
Right.
Because there's not do it with a bolt in it. Yes, you can do it with a bolt in it.
With the AR uppers?
Yeah, you can mount a complete AR upper, but there's no fire control.
Well, and you can't secure it because the pinholes aren't drilled out.
Right, but you can put the two parts together, and you can hold them together in proper alignment, because you kind of need to do that to make sure you're putting the pinholes in the right places. The jigs are not always perfect.
Yeah, and I've seen some 80% lowers where, yeah, they don't have the cavity for the tabs.
Oh, yeah, you have to mill that out.
Yeah.
It depends on how...
Yeah, it depends
how 80% it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But and also, meanwhile, at the same time, we're doing all these angels dancing on the head of the pin. Actually, for those that are patrons of the show, I just posted a mag dump that had some outtakes from Ryan and I doing Handgun Radio with Ian from Forgotten Weapons, and Ian got talking about his time shooting the flamethrower that you may have seen.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah, that was one of those things where you could see he was stifling a giggle.
Oh, he said the guy told him that it was the most this is going to be the most powerful weapon you've ever shot, and Ian and Carl both kind of chuckled at that because mm-hmm. they're like, there's videos of us shooting artillery pieces. I think we might have a little on you, old man. And nope. then they shot it and they're like, oh no, you're totally right. This is insane. But flamethrowers, despite the fact that it is a gun that shoots fire.
It is not a firearm.
It is an arm, and the only thing it shoots is fire. And it is not a firearm. And then same goes with with the fact that you can buy, you know, a Walker Colt replica or a flintlock pistol or a flintlock rifle, or even better, a Howda pistol. These just massive double barrel shotguns or triple barrel shotguns that were designed to kill tigers that were climbing up your elephant. And these are not legal firearms. Yet somehow this piece of...
Except in places like...
Well, federally.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Although in New York, you can purchase a flamethrower. Nice. So they haven't done that.
And there are a few jurisdictions that have, like, I think New Jersey has declared flamethrowers to be firearms, as well as BB guns. Good job, New Jersey. We're so proud of you.
Yes. Like, not just be air guns, basically.
Yeah. There's a couple states that consider the bug assault that Weird and I have. Firearms.
Seriously?
Yes.
I thought that was a joke.
No. Yeah.
And of course, there's also the... I just recently read about Australia has... So they invented these, like, these guns that shoot... I forget what they call them, but essentially they shoot silica gel. You actually get, like, the gel beads. Orbeez is the most popular brand here in the United States.
Yeah.
And so instead of shooting the little hard plastic beads that airsoft guns shoot, they are shooting beads that are essentially hydrated silica. And so when they hit stuff, the little beads shatter and they probably leave a little wet spot and maybe a little color mark for it. Those are now considered firearms in Australia. Airsoft has been considered firearms since, I believe, Dunblane.
Yeah, for years. Mm-hmm. Basically, if it propels a projectile.
I'm sorry, not Dunblane, but Port Arthur. Yeah,
Dunblane was England,
but,
wasn't
but
it?
But now they have specifically turned around and said that, no, if you have these, I forget what they call them, splat guns or something like that. They've got a really innocuous name, too. And yeah, but if you have those, they are now firearms. So yes, the idiocy of gun laws knows no bound. But needless to say, joking about the fact that if you're in America, Massachusetts, New York, New Jersey, California need not apply. If you can have a flamethrower, you can have a black powder pistol. You can have a black powder rifle. You can have just ridiculous. You can have a Lamotte. Oh boy!
And you can have them shipped to your door.
Yeah, you can have. Yeah, they're not. They're not a gun. You know, as a matter of fact, my wife was. She was down here and she got really itchy about how messy my gun bench is. She's like, "Can I clean this?" I'm like, "Go right ahead." And she stopped and she went, "Why is this not locked up?" And I went, "Oh, that's a Walker Colt replica. That's not
a gun.
Yeah, that's not considered a firearm, so that doesn't need to be locked up." And it happens to be that I don't know what's wrong with this Walker Colt replica, but this thing is not functional in the condition that it's in. I don't know if the wedge is gone or what the story is, but it's a non-functional Walker Colt replica.
Is that the revolver that you got the wedge in backwards and you were having a hell of a time getting the nipples off?
He said nipples.
Aaron,
I just saw a starship design for you. That well, not for you, but that will amuse you.
Does it have to do with nipples?
No.
Okay.
What?
Read the text.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
If you successfully derailed us, what on earth is this?
It is the USS No Kill Eye, Starfleet's first Horta crewed starship.
I believe that's No Kill One.
No Kill Eye.
Oh, okay.
What you need to rewatch the episode Devil in the Dark from the original series.
What is a Horta?
A Horta is a silicon based life form that tunnels through rock.
It's life, Jim, but not as we know it.
I think I could cure a rainy day.
So essentially, it is a. I mean, I can't even go on the line, but it's a giant rock with engines
and a saucer. Well, most of a saucer
with nacelles and a bridge.
Yep, and then just lots of rock.
Well, there, but yeah, yep. but we live in a world where a flamethrower is not a firearm. A Howitzer pistol or a Walker Colt or a 58 caliber Brown Bess is not a firearm, but a chunk of essentially completely inert plastic that is not a firearm.
Yep.
Even the ATF is like, no, that's not a firearm. But suddenly you put a whole bunch of other stuff that is still also not a firearm in with it, and now all of a sudden that is magically a firearm. But the whole big reason why I want to put it is, number one, it's a good video that Colleen Noir put out. Just pointing out the stupidity, further stupidity of the whole arm brace nonsense to it. And also, never mind, he also points out the fact that, hey, guess what? when people are using these arm braces as shoulder stocks, they're using it so that they can be better accurate and have better control of a firearm. Why do you not want people to be better accurately and better control a firearm?
Yeah.
Okay. I tried to hold off on this. I cannot anymore. Weird. The Brown Best was 75 caliber.
Oh,
I tried.
Did so well, David.
So how well, can you live with yourself? Weird.
And also I have to point out that with all this mess, the ATF apparently went to the went to Brownells and asked for a list of all records. The people that they sold these to. And Brownells responded, okay, one, we don't sell that kit. And two, if we did, not only would you have to take us to court, but you would have to put us through bankruptcy in court before we would tell you that.
Which is one of the reasons I am a loyal Brownells customer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I knew the first part. I didn't know the part about how you'd have to take us to court. Because, I mean, a lot of this we covered last week.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the episode. So, earlier.
Yeah, I heard that after we recorded the show. But they said, oh, no. We will go to the ends of the earth to make sure that you don't get this information.
We will accidentally destroy all of our customer records while the court case is going on, basically.
Which, it would be an accident. The government has never done something like that.
Well, it was on a server, but somebody wiped it with a cloth.
So, shall I get to the goofier news?
Well, the final note is that I'll put the links in the show notes. But essentially, you can talk to the ATF. They are going to have one of their where you can petition them. I forget what the actual term is called, but there is a form where you can reach out to the ATF and tell them how dumb this is, and for them not to do it. I don't know how effective that is, but better to at least give it a good college try than to just let it happen.
If you do take advantage of the comment, do not use profanity. Do not call for repeal of the NFA. Don't do anything like that. Just give a logical, rational, short paragraph on why this is bad.
Yeah.
Anything else is going to be ignored.
Yeah, be on topic, be polite. If you're not, then it just gets discarded.
And it can also be used as pun can work here, ammunition against gun owners as crazy, violent, threatening, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, of all people, Mad Mike posted up a very rational, clean statement I'm trying to find right now to put in the show notes.
Well, and it is one of those things that I've talked about for a long time, that along with, honestly, in my mind, this was a much lower hanging fruit than bump stocks. And I know this is going to get me lots of hate, blah, blah, blah. But there is something to the fact that 90% of the people that have these arm braces are not using them as arm braces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody that I have ever talked to, I've never talked to somebody that actually has, you know, a missing hand or a missing arm or some sort of disability where it really does facilitate the use of firing an AR pistol one-handed. But I will say that every able-bodied person that has an arm brace after they have fired it from the shoulder, back when that was legal and back when it wasn't legal, because they were all still doing it, have said that, oh yeah, no, it's miserable. It absolutely is the only way it feels good to shoot. Use this device is pressed against your shoulder.
I found the link to Mike's comment and put it in the show notes.
And frankly, there are podcasts and channels, et cetera, that are significantly larger than us that have talked about, with the advent of the arm brace and with the ATF saying, yeah, that's perfectly fine
for now.
That pretty much means that the concept of the short-barreled rifle or short-barreled shotgun is silly and dumb. Just get an arm brace, be done with it.
I mean, it was silly and dumb from the get-go because...
Oh, yes.
I've said this... First off, it's silly and dumb, period, full stop. But yeah. Then, furthermore, in case that wasn't silly and dumb enough, it's even more silly and dumb on account that it... that the reason why short-barrel rifles and short-barrel shotguns were going through, it's like a vestigial organ. It was because handguns were supposed to be part of the any other weapon.
Yep.
You're supposed to have to pay $5 and register your handguns with the NFA. And of course, like all the handgun bans, again, the Brady campaign was originally Handgun Control Incorporated. The CSGV was also, I can't remember their original title, but they were founded as an anti-handgun. All of these 60s era anti-gun groups, 60s and 70s era, were all ban handguns.
And right, yeah.
They found that it was unsuccessful because, even the most Elmer Fudd type person has a 1911 or a Smith & Wesson Model 10 tucked or in a sock drawer somewhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
that is in no way me saying that I'm cool with short-barreled rifles or short-barreled shotguns being on the NFA. That is stupid and dumb. I'm one of the types that I will make a concession and my concession with the anti-gun folks is I guess I'll be okay with machine guns staying on the NFA if you open up the registry and leave it open. But silencers
and also get rid of the fee and the fingerprint requirement.
So two things I wanted to say. First of all, weird, I did that research for you, and CGSV, when it was founded, was named the National Coalition to Ban Handguns. And then jumping onto the whole NFA, do we remember why they wanted to ban short-barreled rifles and short-barreled shotguns?
It was because if handguns were going to be a restricted item, then the guns that were unrestricted needed to be defined very tightly so that people could not say, take a 1903 Springfield and cut the barrel down and cut the stock off.
Or a Browning Auto 5 shotgun.
I was under the impression, and I could be wrong, that this was at least in part a reaction to the post-prohibition gang violence, because an SBR and an SBS could more easily be concealed under a trench coat for bank robbery and general gang thuggery.
I'm sure that was used.
That was part of the rationale, but it was because the initial intent was to restrict handguns, they needed to have a clear definition of what was the difference between the two.
Oh, so that's where the whole 26 inches comes about and all that.
Right. My favorite part is asking people if they know why shotguns are 18 inches and rifles are 16 inches.
Right.
I have no idea. Do you actually know the answer?
Nobody knows the answer.
Okay.
Oh, I do. So the answer is that they pulled that out of a hat because they looked at a bunch of very, very short. Was the trench gun, the M12 trench gun, was that or the M97 trench gun? Were those 18-inch barrels?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were 18-inch.
Because it was enough space after the magazine tube and to have room for a bayonet lug.
Yeah, so essentially...
That's why it was that length. It could have been...
They looked at a bunch of readily available shorter, but not unreasonably short rifles and shotguns, and found that 18 inches was going to be the most ideal length for the NFA, and so they set it off as all rifles and shotguns must have 18 inch barrels, except for the
Trapper Winchesters.
The Civilian Marksmanship Program had just released a bunch of surplus M1 carbines to the market.
No, carbines were after that.
Were a decade later.
Yeah.
The NFA was 1934. The M1 carbine was 1941.
Yeah, but I actually thought that that was an addendum to the NFA.
Nope. Mm-mm. The barrel lengths were in the initial 34 NFA.
Oh no, crap! Well then, yep. then my story is completely off, because that's what I heard, was that they had sent a bunch of M1 carbines, and M1 carbines have 18 inch barrels, except for a whole bunch of them had been recrowned, so therefore they were probably, you know,
just slightly below,
yeah, you know, 17¾ of an inch.
Well, actually, there were a number of Winchester production rifles, what they called the Trapper models, that had 16 inch barrels.
Yeah.
And that may be what was included in there, but why shotguns and rifles were different, nobody knows why that's how that came out. Because they could have just said 16-inch barrels across the board, one measurement, make it easy.
Yep.
My personal theory was they had two guys in trench coats, one holding a shotgun, one holding a rifle, and someone else with a tape measure, and one guy was taller.
Well, yeah, but there is the other thing of typically – a lot of rifles and a lot of rifles of the day, you were looking at 18 or 20 inch barrels.
Of that day, you were looking at 24 plus barrels.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that they were already shortening up by then.
No,
never mind then.
34. It was still mostly. I mean, if you look at the
yeah, you're right.
Target and hunting rifles of the time.
Yeah,
you know, come to think of it, actually, another reason for it could be just the simple idea. Again, we're trying to rationale stupidity, but
mm-hmm.
So I'm noting the irony of the brain cells that I'm using for this. But it also,
I am sticking with my theory,
is that your standard issue, most rifles of the time were bolt action rifles or semi-auto rifles, while break action shotguns were still extremely common mm-hmm. back then. And again, mm-hmm. anyone who's handled a coach gun knows that, hey, an 18 inch coach gun is really small and compact compared to.
And like, you could reduce that to a 10 inch barrel.
Yeah.
Even handier. Yeah. But the thing is with the rifles, it was mostly bolt action and lever action. Semi-auto rifles were available, but they were not prevalent in 1934, or specifically 1933 when they were writing this up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, shall I get on to the
cheerful thing
to wrap things up?
I think we've done that one to death.
Okay, so somebody recently, and I've posted this in chat, had leaked a new Kel-Tec design.
Yes.
The Kel-Tec P50. It is a 5.7 by 28 millimeter, the same round as the P90 and the FN57.
And the Ruger 5.7 pistol.
And the Ruger 5.7. Or 57, whatever. And they have made a pistol in this caliber.
Oh, wait, make sure that you do the air quotes when you say pistol.
Using a P90 magazine.
Mm-hmm. Mounted under the barrel.
Mounted under the barrel.
I love that. It slides in from the side.
It gets... No. No, it doesn't. It is goofier than that.
Oh, my. It's goofier than that.
Yes.
All right. Well, now I got to know.
Okay. I am bated breathed.
And yes, this is a real thing. I may have handled one.
Is that what you were shooting that weekend a couple of weeks ago over at Olegs?
No.
Oh, that's too bad.
To reload it, you can see the lever behind the safety lever there.
Yeah, I thought that was like a beaver tail with that. Okay,
I see that. It kind of looks like a beaver tail. So you push on that lever and the barrel and magazine tilt up and forward.
It's like a break action revolver?
Yes.
Even better.
Or a tilt barrel Beretta.
Yes. It opens forward like a tilt barrel Beretta.
It's a tip up. It's a repeating tip up with a 50 round magazine.
Yes. And you pull the magazine out and put the new one in and then close it back up.
It would have been cooler if it popped in and out from the side, though.
And, well, yeah.
But it would have been Kel-Tec, because they always think outside any box.
And the charging handle is that thing on the...
the tab on the rear.
That tab on the rear, which yep. is on both sides, similar to an AR.
Yep.
Well, they're putting that on most of their pistols now, because they've got that 33-round .22 that also uses the same like AR style charging handle.
What's that weird clippy looking thing at the front underneath the magazine?
Honestly, I'm not entirely certain what the purpose of that tab is for.
Okay, then.
Also, I want to know what it almost looks like a bullhorn. Like there's a channel in front of the trigger guard.
That scoop?
Yeah.
Yes.
The only thing I can think of after handling one is that it might be intended as a good spot for your support hand.
Oh, okay.
Because it feels kind of pretty good.
Grip it. I gotcha.
Yeah. And because that the Picatinny rail up front isn't large enough to put a angled foregrip on.
You could SBR it and put a vertical foregrip.
Yes, you could SBR it and put a vertical foregrip on it. It also, I believe it has a spot, you can't see it on here, but I believe it does have a spot near the end to clip a single point sling on it, and you can do the whole MP5 sling push in thing. But yeah, it is a goofy pistol.
That is so crazy. And I gotta say, people have been talking about this. I gotta say, I am so happy to see, like, I kind of poo-pooed 5.7 only because it was unique to FN. And so because of that, it was
that, and we didn't get the cool ammo.
Yeah, it was a super rare round. Yeah. Honestly, I don't even care about the cool ammo, because to be fair, the ballistics are nearly identical to 22 Winchester Magnum rimfire. Mm-hmm. And that is a cool round. You know, it is not a catch all round. It is not, you know, the be all end all, all the stuff that you hear about 5.7, being this weird death ray armor piercing crazy bullet. I don't think it's quite as good as that. I think the whole interesting thing about 5.7 is that it does have good penetration. It shoots really, really fast, and so therefore it's shooting really, really flat, so you can easier shoot at gauge at longer ranges with it. And it may not do a whole lot of damage, but especially with something like this or a P90, after you fire the first shot, don't worry. It's got 50 more of its friends going on behind it.
Right. And the theory behind it is, yes, it is complicated and long to reload this thing, but
you got 50 rounds
semi-auto.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those things that, outside of jams or anything like that, if you can't get the job done in 50 rounds with your pistol, what are you doing?
Now, another thing about the 5.7, I think you might have mentioned this in passing, Weird, was individually it's not a very powerful round, but it was designed to go into a fully automatic firearm. It wasn't intended when they were developing the PDW program that you were going to just fire single shots. It was designed for burst fire. So one round may not do a whole lot, but five of them arriving almost at the same time is going to have an effect.
Yeah. It was the whole thing of super spiffy ammo. Two or three rounds will be penetrating a lot of body armor.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially with the fancy ammo.
Yeah.
And that's also with HK, was it the...
Oh, with their the MP7.
Yeah. 4.7 or 4.6. 4.6 cartridge is the same idea. Is it's not that... ballistically, it's quite similar to the 5.7. It's a slightly smaller diameter bullet, but I think it might be longer. I don't remember. They're fairly comparable. But the idea, again, with HK, and I was just recently watching something that Ian was talking about with that, was the idea was you're not firing a single shot. You're firing a burst.
Right, yeah.
And hit by one of those may or may not be devastating, but it hit by half a dozen would be.
So similarly, somebody needs to come out with a PDW of the using Tokarev rounds.
I think they did that. It was called the PPS-43.
Yeah, but was that really compact enough to be a PDW?
For 1943, yeah. Well, it was a lot more compact than the 41.
There is that.
So, fold that stock forward, and that thing's pretty small. They actually sell them as pistols with the stock welded closed. I've been tempted. Not successfully, but I've been tempted.
Yeah, but I'm just, well, the upside of this is it's super duper cool. And I can actually see a whole lot of usefulness, going on with this. And also, I mean, I've been talking to a few people about the Ruger would be a fool not to make a, especially since they make the 57 pistol, make a pistol caliber carbine, the Ruger PCC in that. I mean, just.
Yeah,
I could see a lot of usefulness in something with this ballistic level and again the added capacity and all that. The downside is that one of the key interesting things is now the ammo makers have incentive to make this what was once a boutique round
in more volume. Yeah,
there's a whole bunch of guns that chamber right now that have high demand, except for we're right in the middle of this absolutely insane gun rush that has no end in sight.
Right. And you know, I do have to say, I do deeply appreciate, as much as a bunch of people have made fun of the P50, and it may be a miss, but I do deeply appreciate that Kel-Tec is actually innovating and coming up with new designs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, some of their designs are dumpster fires.
Yeah. But
they're trying. They're doing stuff.
Which is a lot more than can be said about a number of, frankly, big-name companies that just sit on.
We're not naming any names, Glock, but we're saying.
We're not saying anything about Remington or Colt.
Well, I mean, right now Remington's not doing anything, so.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're definitely not talking about Smith & Wesson. Or Marlin or Winchester.
Yeah,
or
as much as
Osberg,
I'm a
or
yeah,
I'm naming some of my favorite brands here.
Yeah, I'm a huge Marlin fanboy, but
mm-hmm. What have they done differently recently?
Yeah, it's been a while since they've come up with anything new. They came up with some new budget bolt actions a while back, which
didn't do well.
Yeah, didn't do well and got canceled after they got bought out.
And of course, also there was like when Colt went through their latest bankruptcy, I was like, what are, I mean, now they've got the Python and the Cobra and King Cobra and all that, which is cool. At least they've got some innovation in there, but
sort of
that was after the bankruptcy cleared.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, it was just one of those like, well, what would anybody buy Colt for? Cause they really didn't have any intellectual property at the time. There was, they were making AR-15s, which everyone's making, and they were making 1911s, which everyone was making.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I wrote a post on my blog saying that, Colt has to do some sort of innovation. And I actually suggested bring back the wheel guns. It doesn't necessarily have to be exactly the Colt Python or Detective Special, but have something other than your 20 different variations of the AR-15 and 30 variations of 1911.
Yeah.
Well, they also did have the single action army, and no one else is doing those.
Oh yeah. Nobody's doing those.
Especially not Italian companies.
I still think Glock should make a revolver.
I think Glock should make a 1911.
Well,
just to blow minds.
Now that Ruger has proven that you can make a polymer revolver that works.
Glock is taking notes.
I was carrying mine today.
Of course, let's be honest with Colt. Colt, the company that couldn't make a double action pistol.
No, Colt made some good double action pistols as long as you didn't shoot them too much. Because once they got out of time, getting them back in time was more than a little challenging.
Oh, not revolvers.
Oh,
semi-auto pistols.
Pistols, yeah. Well, I mean, they tried to basically bolt a double action on the outside of their 1911. Come on.
Yeah, they did that, and they also...
They also got Eugene Stoner to make a very, very good design, and they said, hold my beer, watch me screw this up.
Yep.
6 ways from Sunday. How can we take this concept and cut all of the possible corners?
That would be the Colt was All-American 2000. Is that what
yep. Yeah. Yeah. We usually don't say its name out loud because it's like Beetlejuice.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the, I was actually in a gun shop in Colorado with JG, and JG pulled an All-American 2000 magazine off the wall and went, look at this.
Yep.
I hadn't even heard of it at that time. And then I saw Ian's video on that and went, oh my God, why would you do that?
Yep. Well, it reminded me of the stories of the Star Trek episode City on the Edge of Forever and Harlan Ellison's reaction. Anyone?
I'm not familiar. And so
I was with you up until Harlan Ellison's reaction.
Harlan Ellison wrote the script for City on the Edge of Forever.
Mm-hmm.
It was Harlan Ellison, so he was probably cranky and decided everybody did everything completely wrong.
Well, he wrote a script that would have required a major motion picture budget and timeline. It was a great script. Everyone agreed it was a fantastic script. However, it was too grand. One of the comments from one of the guys at the time was it would have taken half of the season's budget to make that one episode. So they sent it into rewrite. Ellison refused.
Because it was Harlan Ellison.
Right. And so they rewrote it and cut it down to something that would fit into their format and their budget. And one of the best episodes of the original series in a lot of ways.
No, that can sit unqualified.
Well, I mean, it's not. I wouldn't necessarily say it's the best episode.
One of the best.
The original series. Yeah.
Just say it's one of the best.
Yeah, it's one of the best episodes of the original series. But he was very upset because they ruined his vision. Now, if that had come out of the rewrite as, say, Spock's brain. Then you have the Colt All-American 2000 story.
Oh.
Am I wrong? You've got Gene Stoner designing a pistol for you that is a brilliant, beautiful, elegant design, and then you edit it into that. And yeah. I've successfully tied together two of my favorite nerd environments.
Well, I think that's a good place to slap a bow on it, unless anybody else has got anything else to add.
So, have you put in your order for the P-50 yet?
No.
Put in the order. Caltex tell us it acknowledged its existence.
It's on the cover of magazines.
But do you have the wantsies for it, Oddball?
I have the wantsies to try it.
Yes, I'll go there with you.
I also will be deeply disappointed if that does not show up in some sci-fi movies.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That is perfect for that. Actually, what I would like is they make an AR-15 upper that takes the 50-round 5.7 magazine.
Mm-hmm.
So an AR-15 set up for 5.7 like that, and that is the sidearm.
Nah.
And then you have a vest with like 8 magazines on it. And of course Hollywood, so they'd all be full auto.
Right.
It would need to be that little chest rig that had the rotary spring on it so that it was a magazine for your magazines.
Oh, yes.
I forgot
yes.
about that thing.
It would. You grab one and it feeds the next one to the same position.
Actually, imagine a giant 1022 magazine, rotary magazine, the 10 yep. shot one, but and have it be have the follower be magazine sized and have it be a Molly chest rig.
Yep. Or a variation on the first Lara Croft movie with her backpack.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
With the pistol magazines. So just sliding down and she reaches around, slams the guns on the magazines.
I've got to admire that insight because so many times that people do the dumb guns akimbo thing, which is
Guns Akimbo. That was a good movie.
I think Oddball can agree with me that the shooting a gun in each hand is very similar to throwing a knife. Unless
you're Bill Hickok.
Yeah.
And no one else is Bill Hickok. Maybe Hickok 45.
Well, Jerry Mitchell did do yeah. a thing where he was shooting the movable targets with a pistol in each hand.
Yep. Fire as you should, firing alternating shots. He wasn't firing both yes. at the same time.
Yeah. yeah. And so but the key thing is you've got a gun in each hand, so therefore you've doubled your firepower. And it makes a lot of sense in the Old West when, you know, people were carrying the brace of revolvers anyway, mm-hmm. because there's no way you're reloading a cap and ball or even a single action army, you know, on the clock.
Yeah, new.
And so the idea where you would just dump the empty gun and just pull a fresh one
or holster the empty gun for later and pull a fresh one.
Exactly. Mm. And so, yeah, you go with the New York reload rather than a conventional reload.
I love the fact that that's called a New York reload.
Yeah. Well, that's Jim Cirillo.
That's, yep. So it's not called a Cirillo reload.
Yeah. Well, he was a fairly humble guy. There isn't much called a Cirillo anything, even though, boy, that man knew some stuff about gunfighting.
Seriously.
But
hard earned.
It almost made sense. But I guess the idea of if you're, you know, even going back to like the early noir pictures, you know, 1911 in each hand.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, you've doubled your firepower for that moment. But now, how are you going to reload this? And they came up with an idea for Lara Croft that was one of those like, hey, it's a little convoluted, and
If it's stupid, but it works for the movie, it's not movie stupid.
Yeah, and it's Tomb Raider. It's not a serious movie.
Oh, God. But it was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Fun, stupid movie. We should see. Is that on a streaming service? We should do that one.
Oh, we should look into it. We should look into it.
Yes.
But I think we can put a bow on it. We've gone on now. We've given them plenty for it. So,
and we've given you plenty for another blooper reel.
Yes. And nerding out to his extreme, we have David.
Hello.
And nerding out ever so slightly less, we have Oddball.
I have yet to begin to nerd out.
And of course, the queen of the nerds, she doesn't need to do anything for you to know that, you know what, she's there, and she's a nerd. We have Aaron Paulette.
To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal, light up the stage and like chomp like a candle.
We are not watching Zero Cool.
Yeah, I know. I kind of mumbled that, but anytime I get the opportunity to unironically quote Vanilla Ice, I shall do so.
But there is a movie that Oddball will not watch.
What?
He said we are not watching Zero Cool.
Or sorry, no, it's not Zero Cool. Is it Ice Cold? The Vanilla Ice movie.
Ugh. I think we're fine with that. So to all our supporters on Patreon, don't worry, that's not going to grace that.
Ah, cool as ice.
And of course, I am Weird Beard, and as always, I'm going to thank each and every one of our listeners, and a very special thanks to all our supporters on Patreon. To become a Patreon patron, go to patreon.com/AssortedCalibersPodcast to sign up. Those patrons, of course, you get your early release of the podcast, plus bonus content like the hilarious blooper reels and the ACP film track, which, by the way, Christmas bonus, I've released for free the ACP film track for Lethal Weapon because it is a Christmas movie. And so you guys
damn straight
all watch that with us for Christmas time. That was a good time to be had. It was thank you all for supporting our patrons, and this is going to be dropping for patrons on Christmas Day. So Merry Christmas to you all.
Also, please remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts, subscribe to us on the platform of your choice, and share the show with your friends, both online and off.
And thanks to Nick Spencer for our music.
Shalom Havarim, Shalom Havarim, Shalom, Shalom. Lahitrat, Lahitrat, Shalom, Shalom.
Very good pronunciation.
Thank you.
And a lovely singing voice.
Yeah, you've got a great singing voice, Aaron.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you so much, and good night, everybody.